Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Yeah, you're hanging out with Richard Len of Set for Success, but you'd know that already, wouldn't you? You would have heard it in the intro, probably. I always love hearing intros to every single show, no matter what the show is. It allows me to think about what actually might happen. See, really, we're all on a continuing journey, right? We're trying to discover something. And for our purpose, I guess we're trying to help you create a roadmap to either change your business, your career, or your life. Now, how do we do that? Well, really through chatting with people, having conversations one-on-one with a person to uncover their particular lives, their particular business, and basically what their journey has been like. And hopefully, we will learn and grow together as a community, as a business community, as our local community, as our country, as a community, just working with individuals just to sort of make our lives better. It's important to listen to the world around you. How else would you actually grow and learn to define your own success? But from the time to time, we find ourselves in situations of not going anywhere, to being stuck, to not moving forward, maybe just sort of focused on one thing. Helen Keller once said, "When one door of happiness closes, another opens. But often we look so long at the closed door that we do not see the one which just opened in front of us." I like that expression. When I first read that quote, you know, it's interesting where you're at, and that's from a very famous person, author, and political activist. I was actually in that space. I was looking at a closed door, and I missed opportunities. I actually call it the dark sevens. Yeah, I even named it. I call it the dark sevens, and that's a whole other story, which I won't get into right now. But by naming it, it allowed me to actually move forward, to actually find another door that was open and enjoy some success. So that brings me to you. What closed doors are you looking at so long that it's causing you to miss the doors that are open around you? If there was one tip I could give you, a success tip, is to find the open door and go through it and leave the closed doors behind you. And I hope you actually find the success and happiness that you deserve. And that is my Set for Success tip for today. As you know, people fascinate me, where they've been, what they've done, where they're about to go. Sometimes I meet a person who understands that there's a bigger community out there that needs help and are willing to give part of who they are, of themselves, their time to actually help out. Maybe they have a trade, maybe they have a business, and they've worked, but still they find time for the greater good. And I suspect my guest today is that person. Jody, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Richard.
Jody, I'm always fascinated. We were talking just before we kicked off that one of the things I do with all my guests, I do a little quick search on the internet. I threw your name in there and all this stuff popped up. And I went, my gosh, what am I going to focus in on?
There's a lot out there. I've been busy my time in Winnipeg.
Yeah, yes. You've been very, very busy in your time in Winnipeg. And maybe that's actually a good place to start. I always like to get my guests to tell them a little bit about yourself. So why don't we just start there? Let's talk about Jody. Tell a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I'm originally from Victoria, BC. I moved here on my 19th birthday, fell absolutely head over heels in love with Winnipeg, and then with a very special man who I married and am still married to. He and I started a business together in electrical. Shortly after we started the business, I became an electrician, and then I got involved in the business community and helping entrepreneurs and helping women in trades. I have now closed my business and am lucky to be still in the industry at G&K Electric doing business development, volunteering for Mount Carmel Clinic Foundation, Point Douglas, near and dear to my heart, always will be. I ran for election there. I lost spectacularly. I will never run again. However, I am open to helping anybody that has any questions about the experience and how I can help them do it. Nonpartisan, any level, I'm here, and I'd love to see more women and more young people in politics.
So there we go. That's a lot. So, you know, we can start to actually dissect all of that, what you just said. I am curious. You said you moved to Winnipeg when you were 19. I moved to Winnipeg when I was 15. You said you fell in love with it. What was it in Winnipeg that you fell in love with?
The number of people that reached out to try and help me. I had police officers make sure that I got to work safely at 6:30 in the morning. I had a boss that gave me a job and then offered to help me find a place to live. I had another customer find me a better job. People have always reached out and helped me.
Isn't that an amazing thing about this city? Now you've lived here all the 19 years, right? So, sorry, all since you've been 19.
That's right. You're trying to figure out how old I am.
No, I'm not trying to figure out how old you are. I had a slightly different experience where I lived in Winnipeg for 10 years, but then I went and lived in other cities, and then I came back. So just to share that, it's interesting what you discover when you've lived in other places and then you come back to Winnipeg, because quickly you realize that in other cities, people aren't always willing to help you. But in Winnipeg, this last 7 years since I've been back here, I find that also. It's just amazing that that's sort of the nature of the culture here.
It is very warm, very welcoming. I think people realize we have a finite amount of people here and a finite community and finite borders. And we need to make the best of what's inside. And the only way we can do that is by looking after others, because you can't do it by yourself.
Yeah. When you got into your, I'm interested in your journey into the trades, because when you started your first job, was it in the trade sector, or did you sort of get into the trades later on?
I wanted to open a business. People say, you know, find your passion and then go with that and you'll make a living at it. I just wanted a cottage. Okay. And I looked around at my young, naive brain said, all of my friends that have cottages own businesses. So I told my husband that we need to open a business. And the only one he would agree to was electrical. And that's how I became an electrician.
And that's how you became an electrician. Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
I do absolutely love the trades. And I'm so fortunate to be involved in them. It was never something I thought of growing up. When I grow up, I want to do this.
Out of curiosity, when you grow up and you want to do this, if you think back that far, what would you have answered the question before you got into the trades?
Architect.
Okay.
I think it came from watching the Brady Bunch.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Mr. Brady, that's who I wanted to be.
Yeah.
I wrote it in a story in grade 2 that my mother found and mailed to me. And I actually did take 1 year of architecture at the U of M, ran out of money, and changed paths again.
And there you go, right? It's amazing how we end up, where we end up, because the path to life success is never totally defined. I don't know if that's the right expression or not. I might have got that wrong.
Makes sense to me.
I think we end up in places that we don't always really expect that we're going to end up. And how we got there is always never a straight line, a sort of a crooked line. You never meet one person who actually sort of just went, I'm going to be this, and that's what they are 20 years or 30 years or 40 years later.
I agree. And especially this day and age, people are changing, technology's changing, jobs that used to be there aren't there anymore. You don't stay at the same place for 30 or 40 years. You have to go with the times. And I also find that the more you get out of your house, the more events you go to, the more time you spend in coffee shops downtown, the more people you meet, the more opportunities come your way. They might have nothing to do with what you're doing right now, but if your skill set is transferable to that, it's a brand new door that's opened.
So I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break. And maybe what we'll do is we'll talk about ways to get out of your house. See, secretly, I'm an introvert, so you can help me.
I can do that.
This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's Richard Lannan. I'm hanging out with Jody Moskal today, and we're talking a little bit about her experiences getting into the trades, actually. Just before we went on break, we were talking about how you ended up in the electrician profession and how you filled in the blank of being an architect someday. But I'm going to suggest to you that in a way you've sort of become an architect, though. What do you think? In the electrician, you know, you've architected electrical systems for people in their homes? No?
That's an interesting choice of words. We can make that work, I guess.
I'm trying to make it stretch, right? I have all the architects out there right now going, really, Richard? Yeah. We talked about getting out of the house. That was sort of one of the last statements you just made, and how important it is in the community. Getting out and talking to people, maybe tell us a little bit, a few stories about what's that done for you in your life.
It's opened a lot of opportunities for me, a lot of doors for me. It's also allowed me to help others. Once you start joining associations and volunteering and working your way onto boards and getting to know different communities, people reach out to you and bring you into a completely different community. And it gives you an opportunity to help an entire new audience. So for example, twice, Technical Women in Consulting Engineering, I got to be one of their speakers together with Dean Stewart from Stantec a week and a half ago. And my inbox has been filled with requests from these young women in engineering to share my story and to help them with career advancement.
Okay.
I'm not an engineer.
No, but...
And yet I'm reaching these people. Women in Construction, which is put on with the Winnipeg Construction Association, they have 3 events per year for networking. That's a great place to show up. Even if you're not in construction yet, if you're just thinking about getting into construction, come and meet the other 500 women that are in it and hear their stories and find out what advice they can give you. I love to see women in construction. There is a huge pay gap still. It's not going away. It's not getting any better. But in the trades, our wages are high and they're regulated and legislated to be high. So if you're an electrician working on a construction site, you're making $37.90 an hour minimum. Whether you're male or female, that's what the wage is. That is a good living wage.
Especially in Winnipeg, like in a city like this and the trades, that's a very good wage.
It is. Absolutely. So you can look after yourself. You're independent financially. Because you now know how to use tools, you can fix things in your house. You can change your own tire. You know when something goes wrong, what it could possibly be, and you can troubleshoot it yourself. Sometimes you do have to hire another person to come into your home and help you out with something, but you're smart enough to not be taken advantage of.
Okay, and I think that's actually really good. I was reading something, an article, and I want to spin it back into this. It actually had to do with a membership in a club, and we don't have to say which club or anything, but the whole idea was on your Twitter feed, and I want to slide back to what we're talking about now, but on your Twitter feed, somebody actually wrote a note to you saying that, your husband could become actually a member of the club, you know, and you could have your membership through them. I hope you don't mind me bringing it up, but I want to get your response on that one because it was actually quite fascinating.
That was an interesting night.
Okay.
I was researching for a speech and somebody said exactly what you just said. And a conversation started with all these people in Winnipeg, and the next thing I knew, the Canadian Press from Edmonton was calling, and the story went nationwide.
I know.
It is a blight on our city. It's unfortunate that Winnipeg still has something like this, something that's sexist, discriminatory, it holds women back. Board positions are so important.
Yeah.
It is a stepping stone to a free education. And you can work up to treasurer and all these different executive positions, and all of a sudden you're a public-facing figure who's speaking as president or executive director or whatever the position they have at the top. To have 2 people come out of university with the same education and the same age and the same starting point, and to have one be handed these opportunities and the other one not, based on their gender, something they can't change, it just, the gap widens as that one person's resume gets richer and richer and richer, and the other one
doesn't.
Grows like normal.
Yeah, grows yes. like normal. And you know what's interesting? You use the word grows like normal. I'm actually not too sure what that means. And I mean that respectfully. I'm not too sure what grows like normal means.
We have our resumes, and it shows our past experiences, the jobs that we've had. And if we're competing against somebody who has been offered board positions and positions for employment that the rest of the population didn't even know existed until they were filled, That person's resume gets a lot richer than the other person's.
And fair enough. Okay. Sorry, my apologies. I now understand what you mean, because I have from time to time, given the nature of the work that I do, I get to review people's resumes, not for hires, but usually just from an advisory perspective. And sometimes I wonder, why is this person's resume not as rich as it could be, based on just the things that you just described? And I suspect that maybe it's part of the things that you're just mentioning now, right now, is that there's certain opportunities afforded to maybe one gender over another gender, or one person over another person, right? And so that's an issue.
It is an issue, and life isn't fair, and it never will be. And so how do we overcome that? We have to get out of our house. We have to get off the couch, out of the basement, away from our laptop. We have to get down to the exchange district, sit in the coffee shops, find out what makes you tick, what makes you happy. Is it building houses? Go volunteer for Habitat for Humanity. Build another network there. Get on their board. They have a Women Build program there. Lots of committees for fundraising. Go volunteer for your favorite charity. Reach out to Red River College if you have any skills and see, is there some way you can add value to those students? They just had the ending of their business admin program last week. So it was 5 days of pitches for these businesses that the kids had built, and then a trade show. They need volunteers every single year, and they need a ton of volunteers to come and be judges for those. There's so many opportunities to build your network, help other people. Just step one is getting out of your house.
Yeah, I know. That's where we sort of started off, and then I sort of took a little bit of a zig on you, or zigzag in terms of some of the discussion we had. But I agree. I mean, getting out of the house. And one of the things I'm always curious with you, and maybe we can do this after the break, is how do you find time to do the things that you do? And I think maybe we might want to address that a little bit with our listeners. This is Richard Lanforsette for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Jody, and Jody and I have been talking a bit about careers, basically about getting out and being part of the community, and also about developing your career, and particularly as a woman. But just before the break, I asked a quick question was, you know, how do you find time to do this kind of stuff? I mean, so many people are tied up in their personal lives, whether if they have family and all the events that are going on there, then they're tied up in their business lives or their career lives. Like, where do you find the extra time to make all these connections and be involved in your community?
I think you have to be 100% present wherever you are. If you're at a point in your life where you have young children and they're playing sports, maybe volunteer to be the scorekeeper, or the manager, or the fundraiser. That's one way to get involved in your community. And that's where it starts, is what interests you? What are you passionate about? Your kids grow a little older. They leave sports. Now you've got different free time. Now you can get involved with maybe helping out some entrepreneurs or helping out your favorite charity. I did have a problem with a helium hand, I call it.
Helium hand, okay.
When you're sitting in a room and somebody says, okay, we have to elect next year's, and nobody puts up their hand, and I would feel my hand like it had helium in it going up, and I had to really watch that and start saying no. If you're volunteering for something, it should fit into your personal strategic plan. And Richard, you do strategic plans all the time.
Yeah.
Does this help my career? Does this help my community? Does this help my city? What's important to me? And is what I'm doing right now working towards making that better? And if it's not, maybe go replace yourself. Don't just quit, but reach out to somebody else that maybe isn't as confident as you are, maybe hasn't got the background that you have, and give her a hand up. Pick her out. Say, you know what? You'd be really good at this. Hold her hand. Have her back. Support her. Bring her. Introduce her. And then encourage her. Encourage. Give courage. That's what they need.
Give courage. Those are actually good expressions. The first thing I want to reply to the strategic planning thing that you said. I like it when I meet people who have a life strategy. You know, and there's so many times I'll meet somebody in business and we'll do a business strategy. But then I'll ask them, well, do you have a life strategy that dovetails into this? And they'll say no. Right. And it's just like, well, how could you not do that? It's sort of like, and so then it becomes like a to-do list for them because I make them do it if I'm working with them. But it's so important, to look at that. And the other one is I just want to say about the volunteer side. I think sometimes you got to know when it's time for you to go.
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean by that? Like, you've been on the board too long. Yeah.
Boards always need new ideas. They need diversity. They need fresh. So do we.
Yes.
If we've been on that board for 12 years, maybe it's time that we need something fresh in our lives. So it's time to replace yourself and move on and try a new challenge.
Yeah.
Life is far too short to spend it all in one place.
And I think that just as we're sharing, right, I have a rule that I never spend no more than 2 to 3 years at one place. Right? That's sort of my rule. And so when I go into something, I tell them that, like, it's from a volunteer perspective, say, okay, you have 24 months of my life, and then I'm going to go and do something else. And that's sort of been part of my plan throughout my life. I know I've met some people that don't understand that. They go, well, why aren't you staying here and doing this? No, it's time for me to move on, for somebody else to do this so I can go do the next thing.
Yes.
I always, you know, that's my rule. I put little rules.
I think that's a great rule. And it does open up a seat for somebody else that's coming along behind us to fill. And you might want to stick around for the 6 months after the 24 to help them and mentor them and, you know, that you're their role model, and then completely leave at the end of their 24 months. you've been a success if you see them doing that for somebody else.
Well, yeah, when I say leave, it doesn't necessarily you just sort of totally disappear. Mm-hmm. You just maybe take on a slightly different role or slowly slide out in the way you go. That's just the sort of a thing that I like to do, too. Now, you've been in business for a while. I mean, you've run your own company. How long do your husband, you run your company for?
We had it for 20 years.
20 years is a long time, a long, long time. So I'm going to ask you a big question, sort of. In the 20 years from startup to the time you closed it, what would you say were some of the big challenges that you had to overcome?
Number one was confidence.
Okay.
When I did make a mistake, it was devastating to me, and I felt like I should quit. I should never have gone into the trades. I don't belong here. And then I would hear from somebody else who had made a far greater mistake and was still successful. And it would remind me to put things back in perspective, and we don't have to be perfect.
Okay, so that's the one key challenge, just sort of the confidence side of things. From a business perspective, what were some of the key hurdles that you had to overcome?
Breaking in to the construction world with a name that was not recognized was a challenge.
When you say name that's not recognized, you mean your company name?
The company name,
and
yes.
What was the company name at the time?
It was Moskal Electric.
Okay, so was your last names?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
There are a lot of electrical contractors out there. The one that I'm with right now, G&K Electric, has been around for 45 years.
That's a long time.
We were brand new. We had no reputation. And so it was a challenge just to get started. I had a lot of help from the Chamber of Commerce. That was probably the best business decision we ever made, was joining the Chamber. Helped us get our name out there, helped us find customers, business, gave us volunteer opportunities, and we grew from there.
You grew from there. Do you remember who your first client was?
I do. And I remember sending them invoice number one.
Yeah.
And I remember them calling me and saying, "You're brand new, aren't you?"
Yeah.
I said, "How do you know?" He says, "Just sent us invoice number one.
Yeah.
You should probably make it 1,001. I said, "Oh, great. Thank you."
Oh, yeah. Okay. So the, you know, it's funny. You don't think about those little tiny mistakes, but it does, you know, sometimes you can actually change the numbers just so that, you know, so that it looks like you've been around a bit longer. I once was working with a CEO of a flooring company, and he said he used to interview people to be part of his staff, and while he was interviewing them, he would have one of his guys go out and check their truck to see how new or old their tools were. And they figured if the tools were brand new, they were just starting out. If the tools were old and beaten up, they were probably been working for a while.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I would have just asked them.
Yeah, I just would have asked them, right? But I just thought that was sort of an interesting sort of spin on types of thing. You know, if you were to start a new company today, what advice would you give to somebody? That's a big one, eh?
It is a big one.
Yeah.
Go into it to help others. Whatever it is you're doing, if you're starting up a new marketing company, you're helping another business do their marketing. If you're starting up a cleaning company, you're helping somebody have a clean space to come in the morning. You're not in it for the money. The money will come. Do it for the right reasons. Always remember that you are a role model, and watch your behavior and watch what you say. People are watching. 80% of them will never let you know that. But they are watching and they're admiring you. And if you are offered an opportunity that you don't think you're qualified for, take it anyways. If somebody offers you a board position, just take it.
Yeah.
Because somebody's watching you and admiring you and thinking you walk on water. And if she sees you think that you're not qualified enough, she will never, ever, ever think that she is.
I have to agree with that. I do want to go back to something you said, that make sure that you're investing in people when you start your business. And that's what your message has been overall. But you also mentioned about money. You don't go into business just for the money or just for the profit. It's an interesting thing I've experienced when working with CEOs or presidents of owners of smaller companies. Profit is always extremely important to them, but the ones that are really connected, it's a means to an end, not an end in itself.
Yes.
And that's the important piece. And I've watched some people do some really cool stuff. I know I want to chat a little bit about the fact that you've, I think you mentioned the Chamber of Commerce. You served on the board of the Chamber of Commerce, did you not?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe when we come back, we'll take a short break and we'll talk a bit about that experience. And I've got some other questions for you.
Sounds good.
This is Richard Lanford, Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. And yes, I am hanging out with Jody right now. Jody Moskal. Is that how you pronounce it? Did I get it right?
It is,
yeah,
yes.
I want to make sure. Jody, during the break, you and I started talking a little bit about the differences between owning a business and working for somebody else. And I can't help but ask you this question. What do you like better? Working for yourself or working for somebody else? That's really the question.
They're two completely different worlds.
They are,
and there's
two
so
different
much
worlds
to love about both of them. When you're working for yourself, you have a little bit of freedom and a little bit of autonomy. However, you're putting in a ton of hours. So you don't have a lot of room left at the end of every day for volunteering. When you're working for somebody else, you can give your all day long, and then you've got a little bit of free time at the end because you're not the one that has to stay up till 10 o'clock at night doing payroll. Somebody takes care of that for you. So I've been very fortunate. When we closed Moskal Electric, my friend Rob Reed from Bison Fire Protection welcomed me into his company.
Good guy.
Loved it there. Very good guy.
Yeah,
great
good
place.
Guy.
Then he was very supportive in allowing me to go run for politics. And I was very lucky that when I lost the election, G&K Electric approached me and offered me a position there. And I am so happy. I feel like I'm home.
So how long have you been with that company now? What's the name of it again and how long have you been with it?
G&K Electric.
Yeah.
And I've been there since November.
Okay. And obviously you know the industry. After 20 years of serving in your own company, this is something that you obviously are very familiar with.
It's a wonderful fit. And G&K used to partner with Moskal in the past, so I was very familiar with them.
So you already have a relationship with the organization. If somebody wanted to connect with you, maybe through the organization you're with, how would they go about doing that?
You know, we give free estimates all the time and free advice if you want to call me direct. My number is 204-774-5549. Or you can email me at Jody, J-O-D-I, at gkelectricinc.com.
Oh, right on. Good way to connect with you. Just before the break, we were also talking a bit about your work with the Chamber of Commerce. I'm actually a member of the Chamber of Commerce. I don't get out to a lot of the events. I haven't put the logo on my website yet. So you can slap my hand if you want, you know, even I'll do it myself. But what was your experience like in terms of, I guess, being part of the Chamber of Commerce?
It was a way to find out what goes on outside of the four walls that we're in our own offices. We learned about different cultures, different communities. They have the most diverse boardroom table I've ever seen in my entire life. It's a place to meet other business owners that can give you advice. You know, sometimes we fall down and we're on our own. And you can just reach out to somebody and say, hey, if this happened to you, what would you have done? Oh, you don't have to ask me what I would have done. This is what I did because it did happen to me. You have a community of support there. It's also like getting a business degree. I didn't go to university to get a business degree. I got an electrician's ticket. I feel like I earned a business degree from everything that I've learned from the other members at the chamber. It is a safe space to network in. Sometimes women were a little challenged. You know, inviting somebody out for a business dinner can be taken the wrong way. At the chamber, you're in a room with 200, 400, 50, or 1,000 people. Today is the state of the city. There's going to be 1,200 people there. You can't get a safer environment to meet people. I highly recommend that you get a membership. I'm glad you've joined.
I just joined
again a few weeks ago with my new company.
Yeah.
Excited to be back.
So you're back in. I do want to say this. Boy, this is going to be advice from me to men. Be good men when it comes to when women ask you out for a business dinner. Now, I'm stating this because I've been in the executive world. I've worked with a lot of executive women. And we'd actually would go out for business dinners and sometimes events and stuff like this. And we would have this conversation. And I was a safe bet, right? So I was one of the guys that they knew that was the safe bet. So be a safe bet. Like, I don't know. Is that good advice?
I think it's very good advice. And I think most men are.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the spouse that doesn't appreciate it.
There you go.
I don't know if this is ever going to be something that's comfortable to do. And again, that's why I like going to the events that the chamber puts on, because
they're a networking event and you're all there for the same reason.
Absolutely.
Good. Maybe I shouldn't have said
it's
anything.
All
I couldn't help it, but I just remembered my several friends that this was an issue for them. So I got a couple of questions for you. In your life, what is something you'd like to achieve?
I would like to retire one day, just like my husband, and enjoy some time at that lake.
Oh, really? You're not ready to retire yet, or it's just not time?
It's not time yet. I have far too much energy. Maybe another 10 years.
Okay. If you were to seek to avoid something in your life, what would that be?
I don't know.
Okay. That's a little bit of a risk question, right? So it's often one of those things that is basically risk management. What is something that you're extremely proud of that you've achieved in your life?
I think making Winnipeg my home, feeling comfortable walking downtown, feeling safe walking through the Exchange District, having the courage to knock on every single door in Point Douglas, my confidence. From 15-year-old me to 50-year-old me, that's what I'm most proud of.
That's huge, eh? You know, it's amazing how that confidence sort of kicks in. I understand you said the 50-year-old me. Now you told me your age or close to it. But the change in your life when you move into your 50s is huge. It's like for most people I talk to, it's like there's an attitude shift or something. They maybe accept themselves a bit more for who they are as opposed to who they think they should be.
I found that hit at about 40.
At 40,
but you're right. There is a change. At a certain age, you just change and everything is, you're okay with who you are.
If you could eliminate one thing out of your life, what would it be?
Having to clean up after my dog.
The dog's been around for a while, has it?
I've always been a dog person.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know. So you're a dog person too. You talk a lot about the Exchange District. And it sounds to me like you spend a lot of time in the Exchange District. What is your fascination with that area of the city?
It is the heart of our city. The architecture there is out of this world.
Awesome.
The creativity from the business owners there, the coffee shops, the restaurants, the sidewalks, the music that plays outside at some of these places, I love it.
It has its own little heartbeat, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. And you can't walk through there without knowing people.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, if you're by yourself, you can go down there and it's just like you're with a group of friends because you walk down the sidewalk and it's like, oh, hi. Hi.
Yeah, because probably a lot to do with the volunteer work you've done too and the different organizations you've been part of.
As well as the volunteer work that the people that are saying hello have done as well.
Of course.
Yes.
Not just you. Very, very good point. During our program, you've talked a lot about women in business, women in careers. If you could give one piece of advice for, specifically for women in business or their careers, what would it be?
Not to give up, not to take that no as a final answer. If you are bidding on a project and you're not the successful bidder, don't just accept that. Call them up and ask, why not? What can I do to change it to become the successful bidder? How can we work this out? Don't give up.
Don't give up. That's actually great advice. What a show we've been having. I really enjoy hanging out with you. I mean, you're very thoughtful. Like, I can even see it when we're actually having our dialogue and I'm asking you questions. You sort of pause and think about the responses and stuff. I think that's quite cool, actually. If there was like a final thought or idea that you had for our listeners at large, what might that be?
Please support others. Turn around, look at somebody that doesn't have your confidence, reach out, help them, become a mentor, become a role model, get involved, make Winnipeg a better place. We've got a lot of improving to do, and it starts with the people that work here, live here, play here, and we have a responsibility to take that on.
Agree 100%. Jody, thank you for hanging out with me today. I really appreciate it. You're an awesome person. I just want to say that.
Well, thank you.
And you've introduced me to some other awesome people, so I just want to throw that out there, too. I'd start listing off all their names, but I just don't have time for that, unfortunately. Of course, I'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in today. Your ideas, your thoughts around the show count, even an idea for a show or a guest, just send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And I want you to remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.